Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable at Blog Talk Radio. Ooh, it's a good morning this morning. Good morning, audience. Beautiful Saturday morning. Always an interesting place to be, I can tell you that. And I thank God for it. Could have been someplace else. And not here on the radio. That's interesting. But thank God, all is well, and we are here. I thank you for joining me, because it's no fun doing this by myself. And I thank God that He has appointed some wonderful, wonderful people that just get up on Saturday morning and serve the Lord. And you are one of them, audience. You're up on Saturday morning. I see. Just when I go to the switchboard, I can see the numbers. And, of course, more people are listening and are going back and listening to the archives and getting the message. And it's just like he said, you know, even if it ain't but one, we're going to do it anyway. We're going on anyway. But I thank God we've been blessed. Share the message with all of you that have joined in with us, and we thank you. I want you to know that we love you, and we appreciate you being on with us. Just makes it a lot easier when we have guests that can hear and pass the word on. So good, it's a good day. You can tell I'm moving around trying to make sure that we send this out to our Facebook. They changed my format, so you have to do things just a little differently, and you get it out there. But anyway, it's not a big problem. You just can't do it until you get to the switchboard to do it, and I want to make sure that we do that so that people can tune in to us and listen, and also we're going to figure out how to make it live on Facebook in the next couple of weeks. Not that I want to go live. I want the sound bites to go live. I don't necessarily want to be seen this early in the morning. I get the pleasure of sitting here looking like I'm looking and being who I am being. So, you know, it's a wonderful thing. So let's see. Today we have an interesting topic for you guys. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works. You know, I know that sounds kind of crazy sometimes. I said, Holy Spirit, you're so amazing. Gosh, you're so amazing. And I know that sounds, you know, he said, of course I'm amazing. I'm the Holy Spirit, Bessie. You know, it's just so amazing when he shares something with you. And I know you out there, audience, that, and all of you that have this wonderful relationship with the Holy Spirit, just go, I know what you're talking about, Dr. Bessie. I know, because he told me, and I was like, wow. You know, it's just so, you get so excited, you're like a little kid. You're just running around, and like somebody just gave you the best new toy, and he gives you this revelation, and you're just jumping around like a little kid because it's just for you. Even if you try to share it with somebody, you just can't, because it will never, ever be received in the same manner in which he gave it to you. It was just for you. God is so awesome. You know, I just say, thank you, Lord. Just, I mean, absolutely awesome. So let me go in here this morning and see who we have. Good morning, Cynthia.
Well, good morning, darling. How are you today?
I am just chipper. And yourself?
Chipper as well. Chipper as well, my dear. So excited. You got to tell the audience why we're excited. Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, we'll do that. Let's give the Lord some praise first. Let me get, we can go back
Amen.
And look like the vet and tell them why
Let's
we're excited.
Let's get Deborah.
Well, probably, let's see, Deborah is here. Here's the number. Good morning,
Yay.
Deborah.
Good morning, praise the Lord.
All right. Thank God this morning. We're all here, and then we good morning. Say good morning to the audience because they are there. Good morning, audience.
Good morning. Good morning,
yes,
good morning.
We thank you for being here this morning. God is so good. Before we get in, Father Cynthia, would you like to do the prayer this morning?
I can, absolutely. Dear Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, thanking you, God, for yet another day of your mercy. Father, it is so awesome that you've chosen us for such a time as this. We thank you for our listening audience. We pray, Father God, that something will be said that will impinge upon the hearts, that they would move in the direction in which you would have them to move. And this show is all about just telling the audience what you can do, because, Father God, there's nothing impossible for you. We know that you're able to mend broken hearts and mend mothers and daughters' relationships. I had a dream about my mom last night, God, and I just thank you, Father God, for allowing me the glimpse of a conversation with her. And Father God, I just thank you, Father God, for every day that we are moving towards you. I pray, Father God, that our listening audience and the co-host and our president just also continue to be in you as you are in us. I pray, Father God, to see and be able to reap the rewards of our labors at a different level for the year to come. We thank you, Father God, for all that you've done and you continue to do for this organization and the hearts and minds of the people who have a desire to take part in it. We thank you, Father God, and if all is well, we pray, Father God, that you are pleased with our work. And with all of that being said, I give homage to our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit. And, Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you, Father God, for you are worthy. Amen.
Amen. All right. And what we will do this morning, before I get into it, because sometimes when we get into what the Holy Spirit wants us to get into, it's kind of hard to break and do a commercial. I hate it when people do that. And you're teaching and the Lord have you on a path. And then all of a sudden you can break and talk about a book or break and talk about some commercial. So before we get into what God wants us to talk about today, let's share the excitement this morning to the audience. I'm excited in a couple of different ways. Some I can share, some I cannot share. It's just a blessing to be so exciting this morning. I tell you, I wish I could share a lot of things with you. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is saying be humble. But what we can share is the fact that we are headed for graduation. It's the first ever mother and daughter Bible college. We have the Bible college and we have our first graduates and they are graduating and on the 11th of August. So we are excited about that. But the uniqueness about the Bible college, we have individuals that have that in the prison system that have worked their way out, and now every last one of them out of prison, every last one of them on their way living their lives, and they will come together and get their certificates, their diplomas, and on the 11th. So we are excited about that. We are bridging the gap between prison life and the life with God. It is an exciting time. So, Cynthia's Oliver, I guess I should say Dean Oliver, she's our dean, has done a wonderful job. I just want to say this publicly. not because you're on here, Cynthia. Lord knows there's no way this Bible college could be done without you. I just thank God that he placed us together. I have to give thanks to Angie. She's my daughter. She has done our media print and stuff. You know, just the three of us, we have been just trucking right along, listening to God. And I just want to say to you audience out there, I don't want anyone to think for a moment, oh, yeah, you can do that because you had a budget. We had no budget, no budget, but God provided. He provided everything we needed. Every time we needed something, money showed up to provide for it. So that goes to show you, if you wait for a budget, then you won't get anything done. You got to trust God. And is it easy? No, it is not. But joy cometh in the morning, and joy is upon us. We are accredited. We are fully accredited Bible College, Mother and Daughter Bible College. And I'm not going to get into all of it today, but the specifics is we do something unique that no other college is doing. So go ahead, Cynthia. I'll hold that. We won't give out all that, but that's what makes us unique. Go ahead.
I wasn't saying anything. I'm just excited, and I'm glad that we are moving in that direction. It's been a roller coaster ride, audience. We've been excited, we've been disappointed, but we continue to move forward, and we're gonna see what the end will be. This on the August 11th, 2020, August 11th this year. And we're just excited about it. That's all. And I can't wait. Some beautiful things going to take place, audience. If you live in the immediate area, you might want to go to our website and RSVP. And we'll love to see you and meet you, and so you can see what we're doing, so you can see what you're supporting on Saturday morning.
Amen. Amen. And the website is mdbn.org. M is in mother, D is in daughter, B is in bonding, MDBN. And N is in that one.
N is
I had to think about it myself. Yes, mdbn.org. All right. Go check. Go up there. It says Bible College. Check and see. Register. Or, you know, we'd love to see you there. All righty, that's it for there. Deborah, you have anything you want to say on this end? How you doing?
I'm great. Just excited about the event that's coming up. The closer it gets, the more excited I get. To be part of just a great movement. I just give God glory for everything that he does. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I can say this since you're on here, audience. Deborah is going to be getting a reward, an award from us for as a humanitarian on August 11th. So she's getting the humanitarian award, and not because she's on the radio with us. That's why I was reluctant to see if I was going to say anything, because I don't want you to measure that as, oh, well, they know her. No, it's because of her journey. It's because of her work that she's given back to the community. You're talking about somebody that was in prison for life, and she gave her life to God, and God told her after 13 years, I'll get you out in two. And Deborah's out giving God the glory. Easy? No. But she is one that we depend on, because Cynthia and I, by the grace of God, have not experienced some of the things that the people that we're teaching have experienced. So we bring back the people that have gone through, that can look them in the face and say, I know what you're going through. I've been there, and this is where I am now. And now she's working on her degrees. And, you know, it's just education is the key. If you're going to change your life, if you're going to change that snapshot, that picture, you got to change your educational views, and you got to change your spiritual views. You got to get to know God. And then you got to get to know how to deal with people. And that's the combination of our schools. You know, not only, what do you call it, Cynthia, the integrated approach. You know what I mean? You got to be able
Absolutely.
To integrate God into people and people into God in order for you to make it in this world. So we're proud of it. And it's not only just the college program, the degree.
We have a 3-year mentoring program to help you once you get out, make sure that you got somebody to call upon. You don't have to worry about running out there by yourself and nobody to help you, or you think you're all alone. No, we're going to be your family, an extended family to your family. And sometimes you come out and you don't have a family. But when I'm not going to get into all of that. But we that's what God created us to do. And that's what God told us to do, to create that bridge to help them and then help them in a way. Because we've been teaching in that prison for, what, about 5 years and giving certificates. And God said, no, give them something that will make a difference in their life. So God gave us accreditation to the school. God told us to do it, and we did it. And I'm telling you, we did it. We did it. And Cynthia and I didn't bicker, didn't fight about it. We had some strong discussions on how it should go, but God would set us down and say, what? This is what I want. If I'm off course, he'll tell me. If Cynthia, of course, he'll tell. He made sure that we traveled down this road. This is a lot of work to create a whole Bible college, create every curriculum, every syllabus we created. We didn't copy a syllabus. We didn't use somebody else's syllabus. We did it according to what the Holy Spirit told us to do. That's what makes this program unique. And it cuts out all the other stuff. It's just directly to the point. Now, starting next year, we're going to elevate. We're going to go from just associates and bachelors, we're going to go into master's and PhD programs. So that is so that they can continue to grow. If that's what they want, they can continue to grow and graduate. All right. If that's all being said, I'm going to come back to you ladies. I just thank God for both of you. You make my job easy. Thank you. Can y'all hear me, Cynthia and Deborah? Okay, I'll be right back.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
It is so nice when God, you know, puts that right combination together, right people in your life. You know, this is not my assignment by myself. When God gives you an assignment, he assigns people with you, because it's not just about my assignment, is that their assignment that he gave them, like he gave Cynthia an assignment. She deals with substance abuse and been doing that when I met her. So she had her own assignment from God. Deborah has her own assignment from God. Frida has her own assignment from God. And everybody that comes in with us have their own assignment from God. All we are doing is just helping each other with our assignments. That's all we're doing. And if we can, if more people do that, then there will be less jealousy or who's being in the lead, who's getting more attention. We ain't got time for that. The only star, as I tell people, and when I had my full staff, I tell them, I said, the only star in this place is Jesus. Now, if you think you're better than that, you're in the wrong place. I'm not the star. I'm here working for Jesus. It's like you should be here working for Jesus. And if you're working for Jesus, you ain't got time to look at nobody else. And when we work like that, we can get what God has placed on our hearts to do. And I call it the smorgasbord. We are Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. We are a smorgasbord for the audience in which God sent us out to preach and teach to. And I can't have it all. He didn't give it all to me. He gave me my mother and daughter peace. He gave Cynthia the substance abuse peace, you know, and I think Deb was dealing with the children. You know, he always gives you a combination of people, and hopefully we have enough sense and enough love in us to know that we work for the Lord, and it doesn't matter. And then we love each other, and by loving each other, we don't fall out. We don't try to keep somebody else from growing. We don't do that. But then the only way you can get to that is through love. Now, back in the day, before we all knew better, we were just like everybody else, probably just, you know, trying to climb that imaginary ladder of success, trying to get with the right people to see if they could help you develop your program. You know, just trying to get somebody else to come in on your game. Been there, done that.
Once the Lord showed it to me, don't try to get nobody to come in with what you're doing. I'll bring the people that's going to create what I have created in my mind. See, this plan is God's plan. He already has a vision. He knows exactly who he wants their part to add to, because we all are one. We're all in the body of Christ. So there's no disconnect. The toe is not going to tell the finger, I don't want to be a part of the body because you up at the top and I'm down at the bottom. No, the toe is just as important as the finger. The toe is going to move and grip so that you can get enough grip to move your body. It's going to help, you know, without the toes, it's hard to walk. Without the fingers, you can't pick anything up. So what makes one more important than the other? And Ornius, and I'm telling you, mothers and daughters out there, it's the same thing with your relationship. You think you don't need your mother. You think you can do it without your daughter. Let her go on. I don't need her. But you do. It interrupts all that you do. You may act like it doesn't bother you, but the intent of your heart is that you're hurting. And because you're hurting for lack of connection and love between your mother and daughter relationship, the love is there. You have to recognize it and honor that love to get the peace in that relationship. And once you get that, things start working smoothly around you. It works smoother. You make better decisions. You're not mean and ugly to people on the job. Go in the store, curse somebody out because they didn't move fast enough at the cash register. You know, where is all that hatred coming from? Because you have not settled something. There's something unsettled in your heart. And your spirit is not at peace. So then your soul is just dancing around, which is your mind, just dancing around to and fro, devouring whoever it decides to devour. You see something, you know, and the intro conversations start coming up in your head, and you start talking. See, that's your mind. That's your soul. Your soul is just out there, and that's what the enemy wants. He wants that soul because, you know, that soul can be just crazy as a bat. It's just like, I'm just going to, if I get her soul, man, you know, I could destroy her body, you know. See, he can never get the spirit. But that's why God said he sent people to watch after your soul. To watch that. That's what we're doing here. We're watching after your soul. We are trying to get you to understand that you have got to control your soul. Don't let Satan take your soul. Because once the soul and the spirit gets together, the body has to follow. The body has no power. But when he get in there with that soul, you might end up someplace, wake up the next morning and say, what the heck? What happened? Because your soul got carried away. And Lord knows, that was not on my agenda for this morning. That was for somebody. And we all, and I take it as a student, we have always got to watch our soul. I try very hard. But that's the lesson that just popped in there. Take it, hold on to it. We all have to watch our soul. We have to. We have to constantly. That's why he said, read and make yourself worthy. So you got to read the Word of God. You got to meditate on the Word of God. You got to just always be in a grateful state of mind, thinking about loving things. He said, think on these things, things that are just nice and loving. You know, he tells you, think on good things. You know, and see, this is how you control your soul, you know, because the more you think on good things, then your inter-conversations are good. You're thinking about things that you and your family went on vacation and little funny things that happened with the children. It could be 20 years ago, but it'll make you laugh. Think on good things. Think on the things that bring joy to your heart, you know. Think on things that once you laugh is like medicine to the soul. So you're healing yourself. You're healing your body, your mind, and your spirit is always there. You know, your spirit is attached to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, that you can't even do anything with that. Even Satan can't touch your spirit. That's why he goes for your mind. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to not do what God has asked you to do. That's how he wants to win. That's the only way he can win. He tried that. He tried it. He tried it with Job. Everybody basically know the Job story. He tried it with Job. He tried to get Job so he could get Job so confused that he would curse God. Because, see, God said, no, he won't. He won't curse me. See, because God knew Job's heart. But Satan, he's such a dummy. He always trying to challenge God. It's just amazing that he thinks that here's somebody that created you and you're going to challenge them. He's such a dummy. I bet he will. Let me at him. I bet you I can make him. Okay, you go right ahead. You can do anything, but you can't kill him. You can't. Mm-mm. That means you ain't taking his spirit. Mm-mm, no. You can play with his soul. You can't touch his spirit. And what did he do? He touched his body and he touched his soul. He played with his mind. He even went to his friends, played with their mind. He played with his wife's mind. He played with his body. He put balls and all kind of sores on his body. He did everything to challenge him. And when he was just about willing to give up, I think when his wife told him, you need to just curse God and die. And I think that shook him. Oh, no. You know, oh, you trying to get rid of me? I'm paraphrasing now. You trying to get rid of me? Y'all going to lie? Uh-uh. No. I shall live and not die. God said. And that's what we have to get to. When Satan tried to paralyze your mind, no. What did God say? What did God say? That's what matters. So our stimulating topic this morning is, mothers and daughters, are you being disobedient to the word of God? Are you being disobedient? Now, everybody wants to say, almost everybody, most people want to say, I'm not being obedient to God. God tell me to do something, I do it. Really? Do you really? Every time God tell you to do something, you do it. Well, if that was true, then you would be Jesus. Jesus is the only one that when God told him to do something, he did it every time. He did it just the way he told him. He said what he told him to say, and he went and he did what he told him to do. I don't think there's another Jesus. He's the only one. So now that puts us all in another category. We all are in disobedience at some point in time. Sometimes, think about your soul. You think you're right. The enemy will make you think you're right. You will argue someone down because you think you're right. The enemy will tell you, no, you are right. They are wrong. And you are just arguing and mad. Some people will pull a gun out and shoot somebody because they believe that they are right in that second. What are they basing it on? They're basing it on that intro conversation in their head. That ongoing conversation that we have, that battle in our minds where we have to fight constantly for the truth. But if you read the word of God, your chances are much better because while Satan is talking crazy, you pull out the word of God and say, no, you're going to do a comparison. No, that is not what God said. I read it for myself. I saw it with my own eyes. And I saw what he said. This is what he said, and I meditated on that word. This is what the Holy Spirit told me about it. No, Satan, you're a liar. I will not do that. I will not. I do not accept it. So you have to accept something in order for it to actually activate itself in your life. You have to have faith in something. Faith is what moves a thing and to reality. But if you say to Satan, I doubt that, always doubt his word. It wasn't anything that you doubt will not happen. I doubt it. That's not going to happen to me. I doubt it. But if you ever say you believe it, or just even if you don't say the words out, but if you say it in your heart and you start meditating on it and having intro conversations in your soul, in your mind,
then you are what? You have agreed. It's just like if you're in a contract. You can be in a contract and it's all written out, three nice pages of all the things that you agree to do. And you and the person sign and say, this is what we agreed to do in this contract. That's a contract that's held up in the court of law, because that's all the court is. The court is just designed for disputes of contracts. So if I don't do my part that I've signed in that contract, then the court is going to say, well, you promised to do this and you didn't do it. So therefore, the court holds you in contempt for not following your agreement. You made an agreement with this person. That's all the courts are for. Now they tend to be doing a whole bunch of other stuff, but that's the initial design of a court. Because back in the day, people had disputes, and there was nobody to break up the dispute. Well, it's the same thing with your verbal. You can make a verbal contract without even writing a word down. It's a verbal. Once it's activated, it is then a contract. That still is a contract that you can take to court. Because if we say, if I tell Cynthia, okay, we're going to do this, and then we're going to pay $250 a month, and we start off paying $250 a month, and then all of a sudden, 1 month I decide, you know what, I'm not going to pay it anymore. I don't pay it that month. I don't pay it the next month. I've been paying it for 6 months now. And then Cynthia says, okay, well, we're going to court because you agreed. Then the court says, well, then why did you pay it for 6 months if you didn't agree? Because, see, I've implied that this is what I agreed to. So, therefore, it is an oral contract, and there's a mandate for me to do what we say we're going to do. So it's the same thing. Even though you may not say the word out of your mouth, if you have it in your heart, if you're debating it in your mind, then you have already made a contract with Satan. You have already agreed. So therefore, it's going to operate in your world. Because somewhere along the line, it will come out of your mouth. Out of the heart will come, what's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth. So when it comes out of your mouth, you've been in agreement with him for a few weeks. Because you've been doing what? You've been worrying. You've been toiling back and forth. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, Lord, I tell you. Oh, God, I tell you, 2 weeks, this is going to come upon me, Lord. Whew. Now the devil's got you. He got you into a conversation. Then if you go and talk to somebody else about it, and they'll tell you, girl, I don't know. Hey, you better try to get that money because, you know, they're known to throw people out of their house. You know, if you don't get it, they, you know, they're just whatever the case may be. Now you got that person's conversation in your head. Now you're toiling and back and forth and you're worrying. You're being disobedient. See, that's disobedient. And there are many things that God has asked Jesus to tell us. So you got to know why Jesus came. Why did God send Jesus? God sent Jesus because being a spirit, he has to come through a man. He wasn't getting it. We were, you know, the people were doubting man. They doubted Moses. They doubted all the prophets. You think that just because there's a prophet, everybody believed him? Come on. Of course not. You imagine Dr. Bessie going out here telling you something that I think God told me to tell you. You think everybody's going to believe me? Of course not. Because everybody didn't believe Jesus. You see, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He kept saying, I'm telling you the truth. Believe me. Trust me. The Father sent me. He told me to come. He sent me to tell you something. He wants me to help you. He wants to save you. From Satan. He don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to live in a lake of fire. He sent me to tell you the truth. Why won't you believe me? Look it up for yourself.
You can just go to Google. How many times did Jesus say, "I tell you the truth"? He did all that he could to convince us that he came for one reason. He said, "I didn't come to save the world. I came to deliver a message that God loves you. When you see me, you see the Father." So what does that tell you? God in the flesh, because he can't lie. When you see me, you see the Father. He said, "Oh, please, come on. Isn't that Joseph and Mary's son? My goodness, he was just building houses the other day with his daddy. Now he's talking about his God. Are you serious? Ha, 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 ha." So that's why he couldn't do no work in his hometown. Because what? All they could see was a young man that they knew grew up, wasn't working miracles. He was just doing what? Helping his father. He was a carpenter. That's why you have to not look down on people according to what they're doing. You don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. So the one thing that God asked Jesus to express was love being the one thing, because God knew the power of love, because he knew that he was love itself. Love is an energy. Love is something that you feel. And God, once you get a relationship with them and you give the Holy Spirit, it's a feeling. You don't see him in the physical. It's a feeling. It's a spirit. And he told Jesus, he said, "Now this is what I want you to do. I want you to tell them to love me one another." See, that's his spirit speaking through Jesus. Love ye one another. And then he said, God is love, and he sent Jesus to express his love through the word. That's why, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's what he said. But on the other hand, we've all heard people say Jesus is the word. So, as it was so wonderfully stated in the beginning, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That was John 1:1. Then, you know, God knows in order for the world to return to his intended state, it would take at least two things to operate in this earthly realm. Two things. If we get those two things, I believe God would be pleased with us. He doesn't make it hard. There's 10 million things you got to remember, and don't mix them up. He's not into complication. He's into simplicity, just simple, because he wants you to get it. So we just talked about love, and if we spend some time meditating on what love is, not lust, love, what God says about love, our life experiences will be a mirror of what we give out. Because if you understand love and you give love, love will come back to you. And I know somebody might be saying right now, "Well, Dr. Fletcher, you know, I try to show love to this person, and this person, they're being all hateful to me." Really? Love can't create hate. It's impossible. Just like what you receive, what you give out is what you receive. Now, this might be something that someone might say, "I don't know. You get what you give." That's my belief. Because, see, I'm talking about the hidden secrets in your heart. You may feel that you're giving love to this person, but you hate this person. You can't give love from a place of hate. If you hate Mary, but you love Martha, so
something's going to wash itself out. Love and hate can't be in the same place. You know, people say, well, that's my favorite person. You know, I like her and this, that, and the other. And so you do well by the person you like, but yet you're talking about somebody else and you're hating on somebody else. Is that love that you're giving, or is there a reason why you're being nice to this person? Because you want something back. You want them to like you, because love and hate can't live in the same place. Faith and fear can't live in the same place, and the same place is the heart. But our stimulating topic today is, mothers and daughters, are you being disobedient to the word of God? I want to talk to you about one thing that most of us do that put us all in disobedience to the word of God. One thing, and everybody on the face of this earth have done this one thing. Even though we're unique, we're different, we've all done this one thing, and that is to worry. And he told us, do not worry. Don't be anxious. You know, don't care. Don't take on all the worries of the world. Because worry is being anxious. Worry is being concerned. Worry is being bothered. Worry is being troubled. Worry is losing sleep. If you lose sleep, you're worrying. To worry is like pouring food down a drain constantly. If you keep, you don't have a disposal, and you're just rinsing the plates out, and eventually food's going to get stuck in there, and it gets in that curve in the pipe. Eventually, it's going to stop up the drain. Worrying. It's a snapshot of food being poured down the drain. Worrying will eventually stop up the flow of your blessing. There's a drain pipe, in essence. Just think of it, coming straight from heaven to you. God said the blessings will flow upon you. He can't lie. So the flowing of the blessing is coming. What's stopping it from coming directly to you? Worrying. Your worrying has stopped up the pipes. And so, therefore, the flow is held up. It can only go so far. You got to clean out the pipes, your heart. You got to clean that garbage out of your heart. You got to forgive, really forgive. Because, see, God knows your heart. He knows the intent of your heart. You can't fool him. You can act like you love everybody. You can act like you are good to everybody. You can act like you're the best Christian on the face of the earth, but you can't fool God. It's like your heart fails. You keep eating grease. You keep eating stuff. It's going to stop up, and eventually that heart is not going to work. So God has a linkage to your heart, and you got to clean it out. To receive the blessing, clean it out. Where did that come from? I did that just, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. That was a part of my lesson this week. The flow. We have to examine ourselves. What am I doing? Because God promised me to eat the good of the land. What am I doing wrong? Why? What's stopping my flow? So I wrote down everything that I attempt to worry about, that I attempt to try to figure out what we're going to do, how is this going to happen. You're thinking out worrying, but you are. I wrote those things down. I put them on a piece of paper, and I put them in God's hand. I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I give these worries to you. I shall not worry. I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to listen. I'm going to clean out my heart. Anything that I've done wrong, anybody that I've said anything against, anything that's hardening my heart, God, I ask you to give me a clean heart. Just clean it out. Give me a clean heart. All these things that I've been trying to fix, trying to figure out how to make it work, I'm talking to you, but in the essence, in the back of it, I'm still back here working, trying to do something about it. I wrote them down. And I took that piece of paper and I balled it up. And I said, God, I don't own these anymore. I give this to you. I put it in a bowl, a little glass bowl, and I burned it. It seemed like something lifted off of me. I can't tell you how I felt since then. It's just like a burden lift off of me. I am ready to receive. Let the blessings flow. Let them flow. Drano, for the drain pipe, the word of God, for the heart drain. That's my message. I pray that it be a blessing to somebody, because it's certainly been a blessing to me. I feel different. I can't tell you. I feel different. Don't let the spirit of worry paralyze you and stop up your dream. Good morning, Cynthia, again.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, I'm sitting here and I'm really thinking about how we allow these things of life, because worry is a thing of life, because God says there will always be trials and tribulations. But when you trust God, you do get to the point where you give it to Him. And you said you were talking about Drano, and what came in my spirit, Drano ain't got nothing on God, because He can unstop a heart like no other. And it's all about a connection. I'll take that, what you said about a feeling, to another level. It's all about a connection, because you can't feel the presence of God unless you have a connection with God. You can't know that how real He is and what He and pay attention to what He's done in your life when you don't believe Him. And so when we start to, and when we have this disconnect between mothers and daughters, that is something is stopping the flow of love that God created you with in the first place for each other. But until they find God and find forgiveness, they will always have that sense of things stopping. They don't know how. They can't get to the love part, because they're holding on to all of the clog. Everything is clogging up the heart, the disappointment, the pain of it all, and not having you there. And it's so many things that comes in that you can think that's going down that drain, if you want to use that analogy, that's stopping up the heart, disappointment, anger, abandonment issues. And I tell clients all the time, and the students that we work with, you don't have a mommy issue, you don't have a daddy issue, you have a heart issue. It is the heart and the lack of being able to get past all of these things that you are able to find forgiveness. Because forgiveness is that draino, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
And until they start to meditate on the word of God, to know, to be able to make that connection, we will always have a sense of humanity that gets in the way. Because
mm-hmm. that's
what
why
really
I said,
gets in the way, humanity.
Right. Right, that's why I said Drano for the drain and the word of God for the heart, because
absolutely.
That's the only way.
Absolutely.
That's the only way. You got to read that word and you got to believe that word. You can read the word all day. You know, we've had people tell us, and I read the Bible and da 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 da. Yeah, you're reading the Bible because you're in a confined area. You know, when you're in prison, you might be just reading the Bible and just to be reading it, because you figure, okay, maybe He'll have mercy upon me. But are you getting it? As you said, reading it ain't going to do it. You got to meditate on it. You got to get that word in you. You got to, you know, because God is going to use that time, anytime. If we're out here, we think we're not in prison, but we all are in some aspects. But if He can't get your attention, He will allow something to happen to you, some type of disease to show up at your door, just to slow your behind down. Because one way or the other, that heart has got to be drained. We can't continuously go on that way. Hold on 1 minute, let them get Deborah on. And you're live. I can hear you in the background.
Hey,
Deborah?
Okay.
Yes, praise the Lord. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What is your take on it this morning?
I tell you, you shared so much and you came so many different ways. You covered it. I'm saying, can I just say amen to all that? You know, the journey of, I was just like saying when you said the part about, you know, trying to in the background figure out how you're gonna get it, where you're gonna, how you gonna, in other words, move some stuff around and make some stuff happen. And God is saying, I got this, but we still in the background working. And so
mm-hmm.
you know, that was a good analogy because the same thing with my leg. Another referral was the wrong referral after weeks and weeks of the same thing happening before, and I'm juggling the school schedule, and I'm trying to move around, trying to save a couple of dollars for the payment, and, you know, for whatever medical. And, you know, God is saying, as you talking, there go you two, juggle. Trying to move some stuff around and trying to do all this in the background. Just be still and let me, you know, and the funny thing about it, because this morning I was praying, I was saying, Lord, you know, I always pray before we come on, that the Lord will use us and we'll be on one accord, you know, spirit of unity, and that we would be able to give that message not only to the audience but to ourselves. And so I was saying, God, just praise you. I thank you that, you know, if the leg could be worse, I can't walk. I haven't missed but one day of work, you know. And you know, and you're talking about trying to fix something, you know what I mean? And so I just had to go back and just reflect on how much you've done for me through it all, you know. And how, you know, and there's a little, Lord, help my belief. There's a doubt. There's a little spot in there. I believe, but help my unbelief. So there's a movement of wavering faith, to be honest, you know. And I'm just saying, the bottom line is, God, you really got this thing under control. And I really do need to sit down and relax and trust you to do what you do best, is perform miracles. And, you know, and it don't come easy. And like you say, Cynthia, you got to get in the Word. You got to study the Word, and the Word got to come alive in your life. You got to believe that thing that you read. You know, because sometimes we can read and then we be quoting stuff, and then in the back of our mind, do I really believe that God walked on water? Do I really believe that the blind can see? Do I really believe that the issue of blood was gone? Do I really believe? You know, Lord, help my unbelief. There's a spot sometimes that I waver. And I know that God has been in your history. I got a resume of miracles that God has done for me and still doing. But there's truth that I have that spot. And I thank you for being honest and saying how, you know, God had to deal with you, because as you were speaking, he was talking to me too, you know, about being able to trust me, do what I tell you to do, you be still while I work. Both of us don't need to be working.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
You're going to outwork me. You're going to outwork me. And the thing about it is, Deborah, you will outwork me, and you don't even know what I got in place. You don't even know what the plan is. You're working blind. You don't even know what the plan is. What are you doing?
And you can't fix it, and you really can't even fix it.
You don't know what it is.
Make a mess of it. That's what I'm known to do, Lord. You know, truth be told, Lord.
I'm talking about us. We don't know what the plan is, but yet we try to outwork God. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
I had an episode yesterday with the doctors again, and Ron referring to my knee replacement. I wasn't going to be there again, and I was sitting there saying, Lord, from the beginning to the end, from when I walked in, when I left the house on the bicycle, flat tire, when I got there, the car wouldn't work, they couldn't get the payment, when I got in the x-ray room, the x-ray machine broke, when I got in the office, it was shut. And waste water all on my documents. When I got with the doctor, he said, it's the wrong referral. Then they said I couldn't get my money back. And I kept saying, Lord, keep me. What would Jesus do? What type of behavior should I be displaying in front of these people? And I say I'm a representative of Christ. Because that thing was trying to raise up in me. I said, from the flat tire to all these things happened in a matter of 2 hours. And I'm saying, Lord, I surrender. They tell me, the next appointment that you got is September 27th. September 27th? Help me, Lord. Help me right now. Help, you know? Help me, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Woo, Jesus, yep. Hold my tongue. Got the Bible talk about, Lord, set a guard over my mouth and then keep watch over the guard because he letting you know the mouth that bad. Need double protection. Lord, guard my mouth right now.
Yeah.
So I sit back and let God work. Let me rest and let God work.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah,
you know, being obedient to his word and you know, doing what he say and loving and like you say, cleaning that heart out. Because I, Lord, created a clean heart of me every day. Some days I miss to say, Lord, if it's anything that's not like you, let it go. It don't mean me no good. I don't want to hold on to it. Let it go. It don't mean me no good. You know, help me see people. When I do the group, I tell them, I say, who am I to talk about somebody? Everybody got something. We like filthy rags down here. Compare yourself to God if you're going to compare yourself. Well, I don't need to know who she's sleeping with and who got what. And that don't do nothing to edify who I am. It don't take me to another level in Christ. I don't really care to know. I don't have itchy ears for gossip. I never really was one. Don't get me wrong. I have moments where my lips get loose and I have to blow it off my mouth. You know? But I tell people, you love your neighbor because if a car coming, I want to know you're going to tell me I'm in the middle of the road, watch out. We got to be
perfect.
I don't know that you got that much admiration or that much concern for me to tell me the car, the diesel, the 18-wheeler coming, jumping, watch out.
Amen.
I tell you, God is good. I just, you know, be obedient and trust him and keep your heart clean. Let it, you know, sometimes people say what's in their heart. It's a benefit for you to know how they really feel, but, you know, don't let it change who you are. You keep loving them anyway. Because you got to have a juice. You got to have a juice in your life.
Yeah.
You got to have one at the table.
Yeah, every time. Thank you,
ma'am. Yes, can I interject, please? You know, I'm listening to the conversation, and I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to me to bring them to the Job story. It came to a point, and you were saying yesterday how everything was going with you, and mentioned I think three things that happened, maybe even more. But anyway, it came to a point where Job shut his friends down, and that's how we have to do with the enemy. Sometimes I feel that we entertain him too much. He ain't even got it like that. Maybe God allowing these things to happen to slow us down. And so we get into conversations too much with the enemy, I believe, or sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You a liar. And leave it that way. And just go through the flow. Just allow God to take you through whatever the journey is in that moment. And see what he is saying to you. Instead of getting in a conversation with the enemy, just shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing I learned from my husband, he can't argue by himself. If you don't get involved in the discussion, he going to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
We sometimes give him too much credit. He ain't got it like that. He has to get permission from God to do anything. He had to get permission from God to mess with Job.
Amen.
And so it wasn't even him. It was God that was allowing it to happen. We give him too much credit. Shut your mouth.
Well,
just be quiet.
There's a couple things. There's a couple things I want to add to that. We're running close on time. One thing I tell people, if you get in a discussion with Satan, you're going to lose. That's the one thing.
Absolutely.
The next thing
Absolutely.
Is that you have to mind your own mind. And to mind your own mind means that you got to concentrate on the word of God and control those intra-conversations. And don't be so readily to get someone else's opinion because they don't know you. God knows you. So anybody that you want to talk to about you should be God. That's the second thing.
Mm.
Then I'm going to tell this little story before we leave. And there's a story that's in the book that God showed me. When if we listen to him, and you'll see that the way is already prepared. The little girl came home from school, and she called her mother, said, I'm home from school. She said, well, where's my lunch? Did you prepare me a lunch? And the mother said, yes, I prepared your lunch. She said, I don't see it. She said, well, did you go to the refrigerator? Yes. Did you read the note on the refrigerator? Yes. What did the note say, honey? The note say, Your lunch is inside the refrigerator, and your drink is in there,
and it gave the instructions. She said, so why'd you ask me if I prepared you a lunch? She said, because I don't see it. She said, but did you open the refrigerator?
Yeah.
No. So God has already prepared it. He
wow.
sent Jesus to give us the note that it, that what he's done, but we haven't opened the refrigerator. We just stand there talking to God about something. He's just looking at him. Look at him. And then I done told him. I said, Jesus, they know it. It's in the book. I had John and Mark and all of them write down the words so they won't forget it. And then they won't open the book to find out what I said and what I prepared for them. And then when they do, they still don't believe me. All because of what? We're being disobedient. We're worrying. We think that we can do what's best for us when we didn't even create us. We didn't design the plan, but yet we tried to do what? Implement our thoughts in there. Are they your thoughts? Are they thoughts of Satan? Think about it. Open the refrigerator. I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Audience, I have one thing I want to say that the Holy Spirit was saying to me as this music was playing. God made a promise to you. He promised you that you would eat the good of the land. But there's a price to pay for that, and that is faith. You got to believe it. Once you believe it, you will receive it. You got to prepare a storehouse to receive it, because he said, I'll pour out you a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive it. You don't have room enough. Can you imagine our hearts not being cleaned out, but he's still flowing in? You're still getting blessings every day. You're getting up every morning. Your feet are moving. Your legs are moving. No matter what, you may get a pain. Get away from me. You know, you may, but you're still moving. You don't have to worry about if your mouth's going to talk. You don't have to worry about anything. You just get up. The things that you don't worry about, things flow evenly. You don't worry about, can I drive the car in the morning? Things you don't worry about, the blessings flow in those areas. It's the things that you worry about. It's where the stop itch, that's what it, where you're plugged up. Think about it. The things that you don't worry about, it's just moving real slow, moving around smooth. You don't worry about if I can chew food and it's going to go down my throat. Who worries about that? You just get up, you get up, you eat, food go down your throat, you go. But once the devil can plug in a thought in your mind, what happens if you can't swallow? Uh-oh. Now you got another thought. Now you got to process that in your mind. You know, you're a liar. Nothing wrong with my throat. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that. The one thing that brought this whole thing to a head this week for me, I know we're over time, but we got a few minutes. We can go just a few minutes over time. I want to share this because this is what God told me this morning. I went everywhere but here. When I was little, I used to say, God, you made this body, and you're the only person who can fix this body. And I lived that truth all my life. And at my age now, I've never been to the hospital, never been on medication, never had any problems. Because I lived in that truth. Never done some of the things that they say a woman should do at certain ages, because I lived in that truth. And one day I woke up and I had spots on my face. And I went to the emergency, my daughter took me to the emergency care. And I looked like a leopard. And I thought, what in the world? I went and told the lady I wanted some cream for my face and an antibody. She goes and checks my blood, comes back and says, look like your blood sugar is a little high. Well, in the meantime, I'm sitting there just eating those lifesavers. I said, well, of course it's high because I'm here eating lifesavers. I wait on you for about an hour and a half. You know, I wouldn't tell her that, but that was in my mind. And so she said, well, I want to check again. And then she came back and says, well, yeah, still a little high. And what I want to do is, she said, do you have anybody in your family that has had diabetes? And I didn't want to answer, but I knew I couldn't lie. So I looked at her and I looked at my daughter and I was trying to decide, you know, should I answer this or what? But I knew I could not lie. And I said, yes. She said, who? I said, my mother. She said, oh. And she just kind of turned her head to the side with this look on her face like, welcome to the family. I said, no, you're not talking to me. I don't have diabetes. I'm not receiving that. That's a word I will not receive. Because I believe that God made us as individuals. And I know the medical world says that genetically you will have something from your parents. I never saw that in the Bible. God never said. I know he said the sins of the parents can follow, but I believe if Jesus, with Jesus Christ, that's what cuts us a new path. I believe in that. So I'm like, no, I'm not accepting that. But what hit me, all these things was happening yesterday. What hit me was the Holy Spirit said, you know, remember the time when you just lived your life in the truth that God made your body and that God took care of your body and that no sickness could come upon you? And I said, yeah. He said, and I was like, he said, remember when she said those words, Satan planted a seed in your mind and things started going south for me. Because then I had to fight that. He tried to tell me, because my mother lost her sight. Oh, you're going to lose your sight. Oh, you're going to do this. And I didn't tell anybody because I kept those things to myself because it was between me and God. And I was not going to get conversations with other people telling me about who had it, when they had it, what happened. I don't want to hear that. I'm going to listen to God and God's word. I had to go back, repent. All of that yesterday was, God, forgive me for entertaining a thought that Satan placed in my mind. And I'm telling you, something happened. It's like something lifted off of me. Don't let Satan put a thought in your mind because he will have you. I was doing that I shouldn't have done, looking up, reading on stuff. Got so caught up. End up with surgery on my eyes. What? Got caught up. I released all that stuff because I've been on this earth for a moment. And my daughter, when they said to me, when's the last time you've been to the hospital? And I said, when I had her. They looked at me like I was crazy. My oldest grandson is 22 years old. Beg the pardon, 23. And I'm saying, they couldn't believe it. Oh, they just tell everybody. Oh, you know, she ain't on the medication. She's never been in the hospital. She don't have any of these things. Da, 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 da. And as they asked me, and I said, no. Do you have, no. Do you have, no. And I was thinking, every time I said, thank you, God. But I lived that truth from a little child. You see how Satan will come in and try to rob you of that flow in your health. Rob you of that flow in your wealth. I never worried about money. Money flowed. A millionaire. Money flowed. But the minute I started worrying about money in 2008, when everything dropped, Satan planted a seed. And it wasn't until yesterday God took me through a change and he said, now that you've released,
you can receive. I guarantee you, you watch God. Because I'm not going to worry. I'd rather go home and be with the Lord than to stay on this earth and let Satan put worry in my mind. There's nothing down here that I need. There's nothing that I can take with me to heaven. My soul is more important. So I dedicated my soul to God. And I'm not going to worry. It's going to be what God said it is. And I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. He asked me to share that this morning. I was just about to get off the radio, and he said, "You didn't tell him what I told you." So I hope that everybody can just take that, grab hold to that. It's a trick. Satan's trying to trick you. There's nothing wrong with your body. There is nothing wrong with your body. God don't deal with mess. He don't create mess. He don't create imperfection. What we see as imperfection is his best. So however he created you when you entered this earth, that's the way he wanted you to be. You didn't come with a defect. You think he's going to let you be born and then all of a sudden mess with your legs, Deborah? No. That's a trick of the enemy. He's trying to slow you down. We all are going to be faced with something. He tried my feet, and God said, "That's because where I'm sending you, you're going to carry the message." And in the Bible, he showed me pretty feet carry the gospel. He tried my face. God said, "That's because your face is going to be seen all around the world." See, he's trying to hit the spots where he knows God is using it. Then he tried my eyes because he knows that when I work with mothers and daughters, the only joy that I get is to see the Holy Spirit move in their lives and see that transformation taking place right in front of my eyes. And I said, "God, I know you won't take that away from me." We don't get paid money for what we do, but the joy of seeing the Holy Spirit connecting a mother and daughter that have not spoken for years within one session, that's priceless. I said, "God, please." I was like David, "Please don't take that away from me. That's all I have." So God is moving this ministry to a higher level. In order for the ministry to move higher, as the minister of Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministry, I got to have a clean heart. I got to prepare the way so the blessings will flow onto this ministry and we can go out and do what he asked us to do. So I just thank you all for listening this morning. God is an awesome God. He loves you more than you can imagine. He will embrace you. So when you get off of this radio program, I just want you to take about 2 or 3 minutes and just thank him for all that he's done. And give whatever is pressing on your mind, give it to God right now. And I'm in agreement with you. He said, "Where two or more come together, he is in the midst." I guarantee you, that one thing, those things that you write down, you release them to God, you're going to feel that spirit of worry lift off of you, and you're going to feel such a loving energy of God. You'll just be in a wow. You will be in a peaceful state. It's like a baby sleeping in the arms of his mother. I trust that you receive that. That's straight from the Holy Spirit. Have a good week, and God bless you.